I will not be doing the recap of last week. I need you guys to do the recap of last week. So, who can tell me what sweat is? This new series we've started.
What you do when you work out.
Amen. Amen. Marcella, what you got?
Soul winning and evangelism.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. That is the
training.
Nicely done. Nicely done. You took the easy answer while it was there. So that's good. I like it. Okay. What are the requirements for those of you? I think most of you were. Was anybody gone?
Anybody gone?
I wasn't gone. Who was gone? Anybody gone? Okay. Tape's out there if you were. What are the requirements?
What was it? Note taking. You gotta memorize verses. You gotta take a quiz, and then you gotta get one of the leaders.
Yes. So.
I remember.
You got them all. Yep. So, what was the first one? Notes. Now, was it just taking notes and putting them in a piece of paper somewhere? No. What was? Where were the notes have to be?
In your Bible.
In your Bible, yes. And I will clarify on that point. It's intimidating to put notes in your Bible. I get it. So,
Just do it.
Just do it, yes. But if you want help getting notes in your Bible, like, just reach out to a leader. We can help you guys, like, get over that. You know, because, like, for me, you guys know the value of notes in your Bible. But as you're going to see today, we're going to cover a lot of stuff. You're going to learn a lot of different things. And, you know, for me, I've got... There's not a lot of notes on my Romans Road. It's probably, you know, compared to like Zach or John, I'm probably look pretty pitiful. But, you know, for me, it's like every single possible route that I could end up taking on my Romans Road is right there. And so, you know, it makes it easy to be able to confidently go into a situation and know that I've got the verses that I need. I've got the backup for all that I, you know, want to go through. So that's why it needs to be in your Bible, because that's, you know, hopefully in a situation where maybe you're downstairs and Bob goes, "Hey, when is God of the Lord?" You know, you'll be ready. So that's why it's got to be in your Bible. The other requirement, what was that? Memorizing a verse, right? We're pretty much going to be memorizing a verse every week. Depends on how long we take, but it'll basically be a verse for every major section that we've gone through. So having said that, last week was the first section. Who got a verse memorized? Which one did you memorize?
I started it.
You started it. Which one are you going to memorize?
Peter 3:15.
Which one is that one?
But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, that you may be ready with an answer for every man that asketh the reason of the hope that you have in you with
meekness and fear. Close. Close. You're getting there. Yeah, yeah. Nicely done. Good job. Way to get on it. Who else got a verse figured out?
Mm-hmm.
Half and half. What you got?
Proverbs 16:1.
Got the first half. The preparation of the heart of man, the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. But yes, nicely done. Anybody else? Got any verses started? Okay. They will be required at the end to pass your... So you got your final test, which will be questions over all that we're going over. And then you'll have to also give us your verses from the four different sections we're going to go through. Five different sections, I guess, right? Okay. So... And then what happens after sweat? So you've got this, you got to get your verses memorized, you got to get your notes in your Bible, you got to get, you know, what did you say? You got to get a quiz done, and then you've got to, what, win a leader to the Lord, right? You're going to have an opportunity to kind of one-on-one, off in some room, we'll figure out how to do it. It won't be like in front of everybody super awkward or anything. I'm saving you guys that trouble, right? So, yeah, right? Exactly. Now, it's only if you want to. I mean, I'm not forcing anybody to do anything, right? Right? So, that's the next step then. What happens after that? If you guys want it. What did I say?
Well,
anybody that actually passes the tests and wins their leader to Christ, right? Then we will take that group out. And we might take a couple weeks to do the tests. Maybe we'll take some time, make it more of an opportunity so you guys can, like, you know, have some time to get ready. We'll figure it out, right? We'll make it easy. I'm not out to beat you guys up. But the goal is here is that you guys are okay, all prepped and ready, and then what we'll do is we'll pair you up with a leader, someone, and then we'll go actually do some witnessing together. So really, that's the only way. Here's the annoying part of witnessing, you guys, and I mean this in a annoying and like kind of way. You only get good at it if you do it. You can't get good at it thinking about it. You can't get good at it you can pray, and that's the biggest step. We already talked about how having your relationship right with the Lord is that's what we talked about last week, was your biggest step. But the key is that interacting with someone, having the confidence to do that and being able to think on your feet and actually, you know, give these answers, a lot of that just comes from experience. You know, you're not going to be great the first time. You're going to bumble over your words, and that's okay. The Lord will still use bumbled words at the end of the day. It's not us who get someone saved. But if you want to get more comfortable with soul winning, you want to get better at it, you just got to do it. It's like any muscle you flex. And so that's why a lot of you guys are scared to death of getting someone saved right now. It's because you've never done it before. Makes sense, right? Anything, like, I would be scared to do a lot of things if I've never done them, right? Anything like that. And so I kind of hit on it already, but what was the point from last week's message? Can someone sum that up for me? Are you raising your hand, Olivia? Or are you just moving your phone? Well, someone's got to tell me before I move on. Yep, exactly right. So that was the main point that we got through last week. I realized that at the end of the day, if you don't have a relationship with the Lord, it doesn't matter how much you prepare, it doesn't matter all the techniques and tricks and things you know, that getting someone saved is out of the fruit, out of the relationship you have with the Lord. The example the Bible gives is like a husband and a wife, right? The fruit that they have out of that intimacy is a child. So if you want to spiritually reproduce, the key is that you have to have that intimacy with the Lord, right? So that was the key from last week. The next key we're going to talk about, or the next thing we're going to talk about, I guess we're getting right into it. So what we are going to be basing the rest of this series on, the passage of scripture we're using, is the Romans Road. Has anybody heard of the Romans Road? Yes. Do you have it memorized already?
No.
But, well, do you know how to, do you know
kind
it?
Of.
Kind of?
We went over it this first semester for Bible.
Okay.
Like, do papers.
Oh, good. Well, that's exciting. You said you know it, Kenzie. Anybody else know the Romans Road? Have you ever heard it before? Talked about it? Yeah? You're like, well, duh, you've heard about it. You better remember it. I gave it to you beautifully last time, right? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah. You can get up here and teach us if you want. Good. Okay. So we're going to be going over the Romans Road. What is the Romans Road? Well, fundamentally, it is just a template, you guys. So we're going to go over, it's, you know, you can get caught up on the Romans Road. At the end of the day, the Romans Road is just a good way, kind of an easy template to follow that lines out the different steps you need to take someone through to get them saved. Could you get someone saved without ever going to, you know, Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23? Absolutely. You don't have to follow the Romans Road to a T, but we're going to look at it as kind of a template. So what we're going to do is we're going to, you know, on the Romans Road, there's about three or four stops. Some people combine a few, some people don't. What we're going to look at on each individual stop. So we're going to look at the main point. And it would behoove you guys to, you know, if I'm giving a test and then I'm numbering things on the board, you know, you know, word of the wise here, right? Okay, so we'll be looking at the main point of every single stop on the Romans Road. So every verse on the Romans Road, every little concept we're going through, we're going to go and look at, hey, what is the reason you take someone to this page in the Bible, right? What is the point of this step? So once we get there, we will look at that main point. And then the next thing we will do is we will look at supporting verses for that step. So obviously we'll look at the passage in Romans, but I mean, like I talked about before, this is just a template. The same concept, that same main point, you could get to in about 15 different places in the Bible. And so sometimes it's really handy to have other verses that kind of back up that verse in Romans. You know, you don't want to be the one trick pony that just has this one verse memorized and you can just, you know, follow that. You want to actually understand the concept, understand the Bible. So part of going through those support verses is so that you guys can actually just learn the topic. You know, we're not, you never, in your Bible study, you never want to base any of your beliefs, especially anything you're going to be preaching to other people, off one verse. Okay, you always want to have a safety net of multiple verses, multiple Bible doctrines to be able to support what you're doing. And so, same thing when we go into witnessing here today, we want to have a lot of verses to back us up. Now, will you necessarily use all those verses when you're witnessing to someone? No. What's the Bible say? There's one number one rule to soul winning. Have any of you guys read How to Win Someone to Christ? His book down in the bookstore? It's a good one. Number one rule, I guess, just on a practical level, when you get into it, is to keep it simple. Keep it simple. What do I mean by that? I mean, look, think about it, right? Like, think about someone that has never opened a Bible. Think about someone that has never heard a verse. There's people that you'll encounter that have never even heard the name of Jesus Christ before. You think you're going to like impress them by going to about 1,500 places in the Bible to draw some complex doctrine? No. No, you won't. Thank you. We just... No, I just... Have you ever stood around me? I'm always like spinning my keys and then they go...
He was just testing to see if I was a gentleman.
I am undiagnosed ADD is what it is. And that's... I can't help it. So partially is so that we know the doctrine. The other thing, Isaiah 55, verses 10 through 11. I didn't print it off, so I'm going to flip there. Anybody else want to join me? Isaiah 55, 10 through 11. Oh, that's right. Who needs note-taking utensils? Equipment. Anybody? Are you taking notes on your phone? Do you want a notepad? I've got lovely clipboards and paper and pencils. Anybody? Bryson? You got something? You need one?
Okay. I need one.
Oh, you need one. Dude, you forgot your laptop again.
No, actually, it's at home. I have it semi-charging. I let my friend borrow my charger, and he accidentally left it at home. So, I'm having to use a power adapter just to keep it alive for a few more days.
I understand. Okay, everybody else good? Cool, cool.
What?
Okay.
I'm using a plug-in just to keep it alive.
Isaiah 55, verse 10 through 11 says, "For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud," wow, I can't read today, "that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater," right? So this is what we kind of talked about last week, right? A little bit, hitting on this kind of analogy of, you know, sowing seeds, hang on this analogy of fruit bearing, right? So, verse 11, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it." So, here's an important thing that you guys need to know when you're winning people to Christ and you're witnessing. It's good. I mean, you're going to have to use your own logic. You're going to have to talk to people. But at the end of the day, as much as you can pull your answers straight out of the Bible, the better off your answers are going to be. Why is that? Because what does he say right there? He says, "His word does not return unto him void, and it shall accomplish that which I please." Right? So, here's the key is that, you know, you can win someone to Christ without even technically, you know, having a Bible near you. You know, that's technically, you could explain someone to the road of salvation, you could use biblical principles, you could get there. But at the end of the day, what's the best case scenario? Well, you know, best case scenario, even if someone rejects you, even if someone hates you, and even if someone rejects the idea as a whole of salvation, if you've given them five verses that they now have heard, that's a win, right? That's a huge win. And so, using the Bible as much as you can, using biblical principles as much as you can, is always going to help you out in your witnessing. And so, part of why we need supporting verses is just so you guys understand more places to go, understand more about the book, so that you can have a better informed spiritual answer, and you're not just kind of following some little shtick that this nugget up here gave you. So, next up, we will look at strategies. So this is where, obviously, this stuff is where we're going to spend our time in the Bible, getting together, making sure you guys understand the actual concepts. Strategies is where, hey, guess what? It's one thing to know all the verses, but you kind of sometimes, right, here's the hard part of witnessing, actually bringing it up in conversation, actually being able to get someone to the verses that you need to get them to, actually being able to kind of take the ideas that you know that are in your head and actually being able to use them, right? So that's the goal of the strategy section, is that hopefully, you know, us leaders will be able to share some wisdom. Hopefully I can share some wisdom. And, you know, the goal would be at that, you know, at this step, that's when we're going to try to work together as a team to figure out how to actually put into practice the things that we've learned, right? I don't want to leave you guys off where we've just sat in here and studied, and we've walked through the Romans Road, and you guys got a bunch of notes, and it's great, and then we leave it at that. I don't want you to leave you with that, because at the end of the day, you know, that doesn't help you, right? We need to get it to a point where you are actually able to use it. And so, what did I say earlier? The key to being able to use this stuff is actually using it. And so we're going to practice that in the strategy section. We're going to look at how you might actually bring these topics up. And then lastly, point four,
Woo!
Requirements before moving on. So here's the key. Someone, give me the answer. What is the main goal of a witness encounter? Go for it. Not quite. That's the answer you think is the main goal of a witness encounter. Does anybody else have any other guesses?
I don't know how to put it to words, but it's like you're teaching yourself almost.
Well, yeah, that's a perk, definitely. Yeah, but I could do that talking to myself too, right? And maybe a little bit, yeah. Maybe. What do you got, Kenzie?
To let them know the story of Christ.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yep. And so, what you guys are kind of getting there, you're walking your way in, right? At the end of the day, your goal on a witness opportunity is to get them what they need, right? That's all you're there for. Sometimes the Lord will send you into a situation where He does not expect you to get that person saved. That person's not ready to get saved, in fact. But guess what? Maybe He sent you there to teach them something, give them some knowledge. First Corinthians 3, 5 through 8. Flip there. Yep. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 5 through 8. Okay. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 5 through 8 says, "Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planted anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building." So, here's that point here, right? Verse 6. I have planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. So in any witnessing situation, your goal isn't necessarily to get them saved. Obviously, we want to see them saved. That's your will, I guess, in that situation, if you want to put it that way. But you also need to realize that there are people that aren't ready to get saved, right? You don't want someone to get saved. Think about what's worse than someone that's unsaved? Someone that thinks they're saved, but isn't. Because guess what? Now the next person that comes to them and tries to witness to them, they'll go, "Oh, I'm already saved." And they'll go, "Oh, okay, cool." So if you get someone saved that doesn't actually have the right heart attitude, guess what? You're making it a lot harder for them to get saved in the future. So it's a very important thing that you don't get so focused on the end goal, so focused on winning them to Christ, that you instead end up actually making it harder for them to get saved, because you've now planted the idea in their head that they're saved. So now the next person that comes behind you has to not only like deal with them and convince them that they didn't get saved, but then they have to get them saved on top of that. You realize that's a hard thing to do. It's a difficult thing to do. And so your goal is to give them what they need. So as you're going through these witnessing steps that we're going to talk about, as you're going through them, you need to be thinking to yourself at all points in time, what's my goal in this situation? This is exactly what Zach talked about. I'm just straight up jacking this from his lesson that he had 3 months ago that nobody listened to, right? First step, sowing, right? This is the idea of planting a seed. So there are conversations you're going to have where, you know, you're going to hit a brick wall. All God wanted you to do in that situation was to give them a little bit of knowledge, inform them of something, teach them about something, shake up their world, make them think about something. What do we got here? Someone, Joshy, would you mind checking that out?
Are you clicking your AirPods again?
Is it the AirPods again?
It said it'll leave in 10, it'll end in 10 minutes.
Ow, Bryce stole it from me. Oh no, we can fix this. Okay, well, Olivia, join back on if it closes, okay? Thank you. Okay. Dang it. That's all right. Where was I? Sewing. Yes. So, flip to John 3. Here's an interesting thing. So we're going to read a little bit about a story. And this is a story where Jesus does what we just talked about. Jesus does not win this man to Christ in this situation, necessarily. And granted, we can get into the dispensations of it, and I realize that. But look at what I'm saying here. Verse 1, there is a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher, come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So Jesus is basically witnessing to him at this point in time. Okay, he's starting to explain to him what someone has to do to be on his side. Verse 4, Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? So, look at this guy. He's really confused, right? This is like the first time he's heard the concept of being born again. What's he think about? He's like, yeah, you gotta crawl back inside your mom and be born again. So this guy's not getting it, right? Nicodemus is like, what are you talking about, Jesus? What the heck? Jesus says, verse 5, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I send unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it comest, and whither it goest, for is every one that is born by the Spirit. And basically they go back and forth, and Jesus is explaining to him this concept, and Nicodemus is basically just kind of confused. And, you know, basically you don't see Jesus say, okay, get down on your knee and accept me into your heart, right? In this situation, Jesus taught him something. Now flip to John 19, verse 38. John 19:38, and after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, so I guess context here, this is after Jesus died, right? So this is Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, being secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave, and he came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. So, here's this guy that did not get it the first time he talked to the Lord, right? He was confused. He didn't understand. But then, here he is, you know, 17 chapters later, 18, you know, 16 chapters later. What's he doing? Well, he's one of the two guys that's petitioning for Christ's body after he died. So, obviously, you know, he had a change of heart. Obviously, he came over and he accepted the Lord as his Savior at some point in time, right? But it wasn't right then. So even Jesus didn't take every situation and just shoehorn salvation into it. He looked at the hearts of the people that he was dealing with and said, hey, what does this guy need? And he said, Nicodemus needs educated. He needs to know how you get saved. It's not by these good deeds. He was a Pharisee, right? Pharisees were all about doing the right actions, but not having the right heart attitude. And so he taught him how he needed to be born again, and then later that comes to fruition. So that's the first step. Sometimes when you witness to someone, you need to just, you'll look at these requirements before moving on, and you'll say, yeah, this guy isn't getting it. I'm glad I gave him an opportunity. I gave him some Bible. Time to say, see ya, buddy, and then move on to the second step. So sowing seeds is the first one. Watering is the second step. It says Apollos watered. Second step is praying. I think it's kind of, you know, interesting. A lot of times people get really caught up about the part of soul winning that we're all thinking about, right? The going and talking to people, going and having conversations with folks. You know, we all get hung up on that, you know. Hey, I need to go to Restart. Hey, I need to go to Westport. I need to go witness to all these people. But here's the thing, and I don't know if you guys, I mean, you don't have to be gardeners to understand this concept, but if you put a seed in the ground and you never water it, is it as if you planted it at all? No, exactly. There's still no plant at the end of the day. So here's the key as well. You know, I keep saying there's the key. There's a lot of keys to soul winning, but shocker. But here's the thing, right? If a seed is sown but not watered, it's as good as dead, right? It's as good as you've never sowed it in the first place. So when we witness to people, when we sow those seeds, we know we sow those seeds, or we see those seeds sown in other people, or there might be seeds sown in people that we don't ever know about, right? Hey, Josh, could you start it back up for me? You should be able to just click new meeting. Thank you. And turn off the air conditioning. Getting chilly over there? You're not even under the fan anymore.
The one time I don't bring a hoodie.
Oh, I didn't realize you guys were cold. Someone could,
I think it's because I'm closer to it.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. You don't have a bunch of sweaty men between you and the thing to warm it up for you. You got it. You're going to need to accept Olivia back in when she joins, though. So if you can just stand there.
I'd be scared of what's going on.
Huh?
I'd be scared if I joined in and I'm just seeing a big job.
Hey, thank you, Josh. Can you turn off the AC? Hey.
What would we do without Josh?
My voice is saved. Okay, so the second step is praying for the people that are out in your life, right? So maybe you didn't even sow the seed. So do you just pray for people that you've sown the seed with? No, you need to pray for everyone in your life, right? You could be the person that's, you know, watering a seed that's been completely forgotten. Maybe they heard something on the TV. Maybe no one knows that they got a seed planted in their life, but you could be the one to water that. What's his name? Lester Roloff, right? No, not Lester Roloff. What's the British guy that's super in prayer?
Leonard Ravenhill,
which is the coolest name ever. If I could change my last name and name our kid Leonard, I would. But I mean, let's be real. Leonard Ravenhill. Leonard Ravenhill is a cooler name than anything we have planned. So, yeah. Well, I don't know. I think it's pretty good. He said this phrase once, and it's stuck with me ever since. He said, "What's more powerful?" Okay, this is a hypothetical question, but think about it. What's more powerful? A man going to men on behalf of God, or a man going to God on behalf of men? Think about that. What's more powerful? Is it me going to someone else on behalf of God, or what's more powerful? Me going to God and asking him to help that man. What do you think is more effectual? What do you think is more powerful? A lot of times we as men and, you know, as just sinful people like to think that we can have the most impact in any situation. Me. Amen. Me and my actions are what's going to get someone saved. Me and my actions are going to be the thing that's important. But, you know, I ask you, you know, like this question. Have you ever gotten someone, maybe you've gotten someone to change their mind before, right? It's rare, but you've convinced someone to change their mind before, right? Maybe, I don't know, you convinced them that Raising Cane's is better than Slim Chickens, which... Amen. Frankly, you're doing the Lord's work if you're convincing people of that.
I like Popeyes.
But hey, you know what? Yeah, we could open up the debate for the best spicy chicken sandwich, and you know we can beat anyone over the head that says it's not Popeyes. But what was I saying? But have you ever gotten anybody to change their heart? Something that someone really believes, something in their heart, something that makes up their being. Have you ever gotten anybody to change that through logic or through reason, through conversations with them? No. I can't think of one situation where I've ever convinced anyone to give up something that they were heartfelt about. So really, salvation's a heart issue, right? So at the end of the day, you know, look, I'm in trouble if I'm the one that has to change someone's heart. Someone who's been through discipleship, tell me what the functions of the Holy Spirit are. Give me a verse.
Lead you and guide you into all truth.
Hey, I guess you've been through discipleship. But yes, that's true. Lead and guide you into all truth. Hey, I know some of you have been through discipleship.
We haven't done this, have we, Drake?
Yes, you have.
We have not done this yet, have we?
Lesson 3. When anybody know?
Oh, no, we're not even on lesson 3.
Jordan. I've done this with Jordan.
Or no, wait.
That is so 5 months ago.
This is, we're in training. We're not in lessons anymore. I'm not moving on until someone can give me an answer.
You did
Get your phones out. Get your Bible discipleship packets out.
Have you not listened to Sunday morning?
John 16.
Have you guys learned? Have you guys got learned something? If you went through discipleship and you can't remember?
I hate to disappoint, but we haven't gone to the school yet, Jared.
Both. Either one.
Jared, I hate to disappoint. We have not gotten to the portion.
Hey, you know what, Bryson? You are exempt.
Say your question again. Say your question again.
What are the functions of the Holy Spirit?
Can you guys see from experience?
You know this.
What did the Holy Spirit do to you?
From you know this. I know this.
Nobody. You're right, Jordan, but you gotta look at what the Bible says. You looking?
Yeah.
What does it say?
Verse 8, and when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and judgment.
Mm-hmm. I was looking for John 16, so therefore, you got it.
What does reproof mean?
There you go.
Jordan, what does reproof mean?
David. He does that one to me, too.
Two different times.
Dang, it's like you're supposed to learn all the aspects of it or something. That's crazy.
Dad, yeah. No, I'm not trying to be hard on you guys, but, hey, this is training.
These are questions you can ask.
No,
like, yeah. What does that mean? What does reproof mean? You give them a verse that says reproof.
That's true.
What does that mean?
That's true. You have to assume that you get like a nosy little kid. Yeah. Yeah. There's this thing called, have you ever heard the phrase Christianese before? Anybody? Christianese? What's Christianese mean, Drake?
It's basically like, think of like Christianese, Chinese, right? If I'm going to talk Chinese to you and you don't know how to speak Chinese, you're going to have no idea what I'm saying.
Exactly. There's a risk sometimes where we can use words that Christians know the meaning of, but unsaved people would have no idea. Mm-hmm. Just like Nicodemus, right? You tell some unsaved person, hey, you got to get born again. They're like, you know, right?
You mean what?
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting stuff, right? So what did we decide? What was reproof mean? Anybody else? We'll not pick on Jordan. Anybody know what reproof means?
Look at what it says in the context of that verse.
Yeah, let's think about it. Someone else. It's John 16, verse what, Jordan?
8.
John 16:8. Perfect. I'm going to grab some water while you guys are thinking.
Jordan, what does it say he's going to reprove you of?
Sin.
What's wrong with sin? What's the thing about that?
What's wrong with sin?
Yeah, like, is it wrong or is it something that you should have or no? Okay, so you kind of use that context to think about what reproof could mean.
Isn't that like, it's like you gotta do something right?
Or is that... No, that was another word.
I don't feel like you're saying like he will take you out of...
You remember, go over to 2 Timothy 3:16.
If you don't do your chores, your mom's gonna reprove you of not doing your chores. What is reproof?
I was telling you what you're doing wrong.
What you're doing wrong.
Hey,
there you go.
You're doing wrong. Tell you what you're doing wrong.
What'd you say?
Telling you what you're doing wrong.
Exactly. Yep. Yep. Bingo. So, here's the way a lot of, you know, Christians want to evangelize. Think, okay, what's the Westboro Baptist Church? Who knows Westboro Baptist?
No clue.
They're crazy, right? Man, you guys, they're so entertaining.
They're not on the news anymore.
They aren't?
No, nothing happens with them anymore.
No. Basically, it's a group of Baptists that run out to, like, the parades or the funerals of, like, military people, a lot of it. It's a lot of soldiers. So say there's a funeral for a soldier's death, right? They will go to that funeral with big old signs that say, you're going to hell, God hates fags, you brought this on yourself, and will basically picket a soldier's funeral, saying that the reason that soldiers are dying is because God's removing his hand from this nation. Which he is. But, right, they'll go pick other people's funeral and have these big old signs. Do you think someone's going to be in a really, like, receptive mood to get saved from a guy holding up a sign that says you're going to hell at the funeral of their, like, killed brother or daughter or son, right? So that's the way a lot of men want to witness. They want to go, we want to go make people feel bad for their sin, right? We want to go be the one that changes their heart. What did I just say? We can't do that. Whose job is it to reprove people? Bingo. God's, the Holy Spirit. And so at the end of the day, you know, we're going to look at these. But the first step of the Romans road, we're going to get to this verse here in just a second, is... Oh, I just did it.
Swag.
Kenzie made it so pretty. Kenzie made it so pretty. I did it again.
Oh my God.
S is there.
There you go. It's there. Okay. The first step of the Romans Road is getting someone to realize they're a sinner. Okay? It is. It is swagger. Okay? It's the Romans Road. How do you walk down a road like a cool person?
Swagger.
Swagger. Exactly.
Exactly.
I will have you know, I tried so hard to find a better acronym, but this is what we get. We get swagger. Okay? So, but the first step on the Romans Road that we're going to look at is the fact that you need to realize you're a sinner. And so, I'm kind of jumping ahead of myself a little bit, but because it ties into this point, realizing that the first step, right? You can't get saved if you don't realize you have sinned yet and realize that you're a sinner. Who has to lay the groundwork for someone to realize that they're a sinner? God, the Holy Spirit. And so at the end of the day, this is why watering is important. This is why it's important to pray for the people in your life. At the end of the day, you can share some knowledge. You can share some guidance. But you're not going to change their heart. The Holy Spirit is. So you need to go on behalf of that friend you've got. Go on behalf of that person you want to witness to. And talk to God about them. Say, hey, Lord, make that person realize their sin. Make that person realize their sin debt. Lord, help this person to see the truth in this world. Help them to be reproved, Lord. And hey, there's nothing God loves more than asking him to do things that he's told you he'll do. He says, hey, I'll reprove the world of sin. You could say, Lord, you said you're going to reprove people. Hey, reprove my buddy that thinks he's perfect. Reprove my buddy that thinks he's good enough to go to heaven. Help him see his sin. God loves that stuff. That's how you really pray, is you take the promises in the Bible and you give them back to God and say, hey, you said this would happen. Please do it, Lord. And so you really want to get people in your life saved? That's how you do it. In situations when I've gone to restart, I think of maybe one person we got saved at restart where I was there. And that was interesting to me, restart, was this old thing. We used to walk downtown and go witness to homeless people. So I think the one situation where I was there when someone got saved, that day was like the one day I took praying seriously. Now, I'm not saying that I'm not trying to connect any dots too big, but I've seen it in my own life anecdotally. When you're praying, stuff happens. When you're thinking about what to say, stuff doesn't happen. And so I would encourage you guys, you know, this is the next step, right? Step one is you know, sometimes you got to sow a seed. You got to give someone some knowledge. But sometimes you just need to pray for people. That's a third of soul winning. And it's probably, you know, one of the most important parts, because God's the only one that can change someone's heart, not us. Yeah. This is what Jordan talked about too with Taylor's dad, right? You know, I'll just preach the same thing you preached, right? At the end of the day, Taylor had witnessed to his family about a million times. He was one of the most prolific. I mean, he was every chance he had an opportunity, he would bring up Christianity with his family. He'd bring up getting saved with his mom and his sister and his brother and sister-in-law, right? But at the end of the day, it wasn't any good, right? Because they didn't have the right heart attitude. Who was the one that was at the end of the day able to make the right move at the right time to get their hearts in a position where they could get saved? It was God. Nothing Taylor could do could have gotten them saved. He was there. He was ready. He was able. He had all this stuff down, so when the time came, he was ready. Will you be ready? But at the end of the day, it was God who put those situations together so that his family could get saved. So, I know I'm hitting this point real hard, but praying, guys, there's no point in prepping for witnessing if you're not going to pray for the people that you witness to, successfully or unsuccessfully. Lastly is reaping. This is what we always think of. This is actually getting someone saved, right? Sowing, just giving them some knowledge, watering, praying for them. Reaping. This is where we actually win someone to Christ. I will say you get to this step about 5% of your witness encounters. Okay? Don't expect to get to this step. In fact, you should be hesitant to make it to this step because, like, what did I say earlier? You don't want to be the one that wins someone to Christ wrongly, right? It's if someone's got the right heart attitude, the Lord will make sure they're okay. But you don't want to give them a false sense of security. And so, you know, just keeping it realistic here, like, yeah, we're going to prep and we're going to train you guys to be able to win people to Christ. But most times you're going to have to get off the road sooner because they're not going to meet the minimum requirements of one of these steps. As Zach said in his message a few months ago, I love it. He said, you're not here to change their heart or mind, but you're just here to show them where to sign. Right? That's all we're doing. At the end of the day, our witnessing is not, you're not beating someone over the head. Remember, I talked about apologetics in our truth session, where apologetics, a lot of times when you get hung up trying to force someone to believe in Christianity, you just make it complicated, right? This is simple. All we're doing is you're putting out the truth, and if they respond to it, cool. If they don't, cool, buddy, I'll be praying for you. See you when you're ready, right? That's what you got to do. You got to know when to move on. And so, I just love that. And I also want to hit one more point. While we were in, what verse is that? I'll read this again. I got all my paints. Number your pages, kids. Number your pages. 1 Corinthians 3, 5 through 8. Let me read verse 8 again. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his labor. A lot of times people think they failed if they haven't won someone to Christ. What does that verse just say? What did that verse just say? I'll read it one more time. Someone's got to explain it to me before I move on. I picked the wrong page again.
Okay.
First Corinthians 3:8, guys. 1 Corinthians 3:8, yes, sir. Okay, 1 Corinthians 3:8. I'll read it one more time, and then I need someone to explain it to me. I'll read 7 too, because it also fits in. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. What does that verse mean? Someone take a stab at it.
Like, you can't just do one or the other. You have to do both of the steps.
That's true. That's valid.
You can't just, plant something and then leave it alone. You have to, water it so that the plant can grow and eventually be reaped. And everyone that, will plant and water will receive their own reward, no matter if it's the reaping part or God giving you a blessing over it.
Nicely done. Yes. Yes, we all get hung up on getting people saved. The actual, I get to go up and say I won this kid to Christ and feel good about myself. We all get hung up on that point in time. But guess what? God says that the reward is in all of it. Whether you sowed the seed, whether you watered, or whether you reaped, it doesn't matter. You all get the same. You get what you get what you get. You get your reward for all of those. I honestly think you probably get a lot more reward for watering because no one else sees you do it. Right? You can get a lot of fleshly benefit out of making everybody think that you're really cool because you got someone saved, right? There's a lot of pride that can puff you up when you do that stuff. So I don't know, just throwing that out there, but we get hung up on this idea that I have to get someone saved. It doesn't count. I don't get to put that spiritual notch in my belt if I don't get someone saved. Guess what? As long as you were anywhere on that spectrum, if you witnessed to someone, you just taught them some knowledge, you prayed for them, whatever, it still counts. The Lord, the Lord still loves it. The Lord still cares about it. And that's doing what God called you to do in that situation. Once again, the main goal of soul winning is to get them what they need, to get them what God prepared you for. Bob talks about this always, the prepared sinner, prepared servant. And so basically the way God works, and he uses the example of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8. We'll flip there. Verse 26 and 27. 26 says, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip. So at this point in time, Philip, think of him as like your Billy Sunday, right? He's the guy there. He's your Billy Graham. He's the guy that's out there. He's a part of a huge revival that's going on. And so... So Philip, here's this bigwig, this huge, huge spiritual preacher. What's happens? The verse 26, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip and said, arise, go towards the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is the desert. So basically God calls him, hey, leave this really successful ministry behind. I need you to go do something down in the desert. So what's he do? And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning and sitting upon his chariot and read Isaiah. So that's Isaiah, Isaiah 53, the prophet. Then the Spirit came unto Philip, saying, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet of this? Of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. So there's this picture that God's showing us, right? He will take someone who's prepared. Could be you guys. Maybe you're prepared, maybe you're not. He will take one of you guys and a prepared sinner. So someone that needs something. Maybe the sinner needs to realize that their sin is actually bad. Maybe they need to realize that, you know, maybe they do fall short. Maybe they need to realize, I don't know, take your pick. Anything from the Romans Road, anything in the Bible. What God will do is he'll take someone that's got this need. If you've got it prepared, he will bring you to that person and have you give them what they need in that situation. I've seen it happen time and time again. It wasn't long. So my little brother, I taught him this before. First week of discipleship, pretty much. One of these first weeks, I was trying to explain to him, hey, why do you need to get this stuff down? Why do you need to take the things we give you and not just put it away in a notebook, not just snooze in the back of the classroom? Why do you need to get it down? I said, if you get it down, I promise you this, the Lord will show up and you'll get a chance to use it. I told him that, and I think we ended up going through, what was it? He was just curious to go through Genesis 24, the principles on finding a spouse, so just basically dating life. What's the Bible say about who should you date, who shouldn't you date? What do you do about that? So we're like, okay, yeah, we'll go through it. It wasn't a week later that he had a guy in the bathroom at school crying to the point where his shirt was soaked with tears, explaining to him all his woes of his girl stuff. And my little brother was able to open up the Bible and explain to him Genesis 24 and the principles in finding a spouse, right? So it wasn't even a week later. And so I remember that happened, and I went to my brother and I said, hey, was I right? Right? I was right. This is what the Bible does. And so here's the thing that I'm excited about as you guys. I'm basically claiming that same truth now. If you prepare this stuff that we're talking about, if you prepare what we're talking about all these weeks, if you actually get it in your Bible, if you get it in your brain, you get it to the point where you can understand it, you will have an opportunity to use it. The work is many, but the laborers are few. There's very few of us out there that the Lord can pair up. There's a lot more sinners that need something than there are people prepared to bring them what they have. And so, I mean, pretty much that's where I'm going to leave off today, because we didn't actually get to anything I was actually going to do. But that's what I want to leave you guys with. And before we get into any more, and this is probably good because, you know, we'll just spend time on this and we'll get into something different. But I guess I just needed to hit the point home one more time, you guys, is that if you have this stuff prepared, you're going to get an opportunity to use it. And so I would implore you guys, like, get this stuff down. Don't waste time just like sitting in here. I mean, if you're not going to sit here and you're not going to learn, then like, go do something more fun. That's what Zach talked about. Like, there's cooler places you can be than listening to my nasally voice that cracks and can't read verses right, okay? So that's where I'm leaving off today. Thank you guys. We really shouldn't be here next week. So Drake will be here next week. He will be in charge. And, you know, I'm not jinxing it. We're not jinxing it.
You're not in charge of the schedule.
Right. Okay. We,
Jerry, a lot of things would be under control.
But, okay. So, someone pray out for me. My man. Let's get it.
Dear Father, Lord, thank you for bringing us here tonight, Lord. Help us just to take this information, like Jared said, not just to hear and put it back in our bag, Lord, but to have into our lives and be ready for any opportunity that you have for us, Lord. Just help us to be ready for the opportunity that you give us, and know that we have you right by our side helping us along the way with the information that you've given us and this word, and just the confidence that we can have, Lord, and just with anybody around us, Lord, no matter if it's a stranger or not. And just help us to realize that there's so many people out there that don't know you and who don't realize what they're missing out on, and what they're going to look forward to in the future when they die, or where they're going. Just help us to realize that we're the only ones that can help them with that and make them realize that and change that, Lord. Just help us to be more like you and just serve you as much as we can. Just keep us safe in whatever we do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right. Hey, get your hymnals. We're mixing it up again.
Mixing it up.
I like ending on a song. I really do. Do you guys ever have that issue where, I guess you guys don't, you're not in school, but I have an issue after every single meeting, because I do so much stuff like this, after every single meeting at work, I feel like, oh, we're not praying? Oh yeah, I'm at work. I kind of feel the same way about singing a song, I'll tell you the truth. Let's flip to, I've just been having a hankering for this one. It's not related to anything we're doing, but 271, my anchor holds.
271.
Now, this one, my voice range is, not made for it, so I might need your help.
Let's do it, it doesn't matter.
Though the angry surges roll on my tempest-driven soul, I am peaceful for I know, while we know the winds may blow, I've an anchor safe and sure that can evermore endure, and it holds, my anchor holds, blow your wildest and no gale on my bark. By his grace I shall.
good singing, you guys. Good singing.